If you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn to John chapter 2. I want to share with you a few thoughts from a very familiar story in Scripture. I really believe this is true. The story is from way back then, even early in Jesus' ministry. Some believe this to be the very first, even, of all of his miracles. I understand that, I recognize that, but still, I sense today that the story and really what we would learn from it, it's a right now. It's for you and for me today kind of message. I say that to really say this, oh, may our ears be open. May our hearts be open today to hear what the Spirit would speak to us. For our day, for today, for this moment in your life and in mine. Again, a familiar story, verse 1 of John chapter 2. On the third day, a wedding took place at Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Nearby stood six stone water jars, the kind used by the Jews for ceremonial washing, each holding from 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first, and then the cheaper wine after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." This, the first of his miraculous signs, Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Let me share with you four things this morning. The first, we're going to call it the simple message. I believe it. I really do. I sense so strongly, I wish I could take what I feel in my heart and put it in your heart today. Related to the times that we're living in, related to our day, related to your life here and now, my life here and now, everything that has become this year of 2020, even more specifically, the last few months of it. I believe that in it all, through it all, Jesus is calling. He's calling to you. He's calling to me. Jesus is speaking. Jesus is commanding. Jesus is commissioning us. Hear me this morning. Hear my heart. The virus, that's not the story. Rather, it's this. Jesus is calling. Do you hear him? Do you hear what he's speaking to you? Do you sense that? Do you sense what he's calling and what he's asking of you? Cultural or political agendas. And I don't mean to make light of them or ignore the problem of them. But hear me this morning, that's not the story. America's so terribly divided. What you're for, what you're against, what everybody else is for, what everybody else is against. Again, I don't make light of that. I don't mean to ignore that. Division is of the devil. And right now, the devil is having a heyday in America. And we, as the kingdom of God's people, we don't just sit by and let the devil do whatever he wants to do. We stand against that. We don't let him destroy by way of division. But listen, that's not the story. not for you, not for me, not for his followers, not for the church. Rather, it's this: Jesus is calling to us, to you, to me. I thought of it this way. I really believe it's true. The spiritual atmosphere, the spiritual realm is pregnant with what God's wanting to do, what God's wanting to do now. I believe that these are the last days, even this, the last hour. And there is that God's wanting to accomplish before he commissions the angel to sound the trumpet and call his church home. What God's wanting to do now. What God's wanting to do in your life. What God's wanting to do in my life, so that when the Master returns, we, his servants, are busy doing what he left us to do. What God's wanting to do in his church. What God's wanting to do through you, through me, through his church. Jesus is calling. Do you hear his voice? Do you recognize his voice? Do you sense him calling to you? Do you hear him asking of you, commanding of you, commissioning you? Jesus is calling, wanting to work in you. I believe this with all my heart, that for each and every one of us in this room, I really do, I sense it as a word from the Lord. There is that Jesus is wanting to do in you and wanting to do in me. I don't necessarily know what it is. Maybe he's wanting to move you to a place, a life lived in greater holiness, in righteousness, purity. Now is the time for that. Now more than ever, the church is needing to live life like that. Jesus is calling. Maybe to you, he's calling you to a greater level of commitment. I fear for too many Christians, their commitment really has only been to the level of convenience. As long as it was convenient, sure, they'll count themselves committed to the Lord. But if he began to call them, or even as he began to call them to a commitment that was even in fact inconvenient, they couldn't be counted on. Their commitment was in fact no commitment at all. I don't ask it to sound mean or to seem rude, but is that you? Is your commitment to Jesus really nothing more than convenience masquerading as commitment? Maybe that's what you sense from him. Maybe that's his word for you. Maybe that's Jesus calling to you, moving you to a place of wholehearted devotion, absolute, unwavering, and uncompromising commitment to him, even when it's most inconvenient. Maybe for you, Jesus is wanting to move you out of some things that aren't good for you. Maybe you've let sin in. Maybe you've let the root of bitterness grow in your heart. Maybe you've compromised with the world. Or maybe it's nothing bad like that at all. It's just Jesus calling and commanding. You need less of that so that you can have more of me. Maybe Jesus is asking you to walk away from some things. Do you hear him this morning? Do you sense the voice of God speaking to you? Not related to, is it bad? Is it a sin? Should I not? No. It's just Jesus is saying, I want to bring you out of that. I want you to walk away from that so you can walk into more of me. My presence and my glory and my power. Maybe you've lost your first love. That was last Sunday, right? Maybe the work Jesus is wanting to do in you is to restore that. Maybe you've grown lukewarm. That's another message to another church listed in Revelation. You can read of it in Revelation 3 and verse 14. To the angel of the church in Laodicea, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. The message says it this way: I know you inside out and find little to my liking. You're not cold, you're not hot. Far better to be either one or the other. You're stale, you're stagnant, you make me want to vomit. I know it's not pleasant to consider, but is that you? And do you sense the Lord wanting to settle some things in your heart? A sort of line that's maybe being drawn for you? Are you with Him or are you not? Are you for Him or are you not? Are you in? I mean in. Loving Him, serving Him, faithful to Him, devoted to Him, no matter the cost, no matter the sacrifice. Are you in or are you not? Last Sunday, the warning to those who left, who had forsaken their first love for Jesus, you better listen. You better remember. You better remember where you were, how far you've fallen. You better repent that you're not where you started, that you've fallen, that you've compromised, that you've left the first love. And you better repeat. You better do the things you did at the beginning so that that first love can be restored. Or you remember it. Your lampstand will be removed from the Lord's presence. And today, the warning to the lukewarm, you better listen. There's trouble if you don't. You'll be removed, spit out, vomited out. Lukewarm Christians haven't ever been a good thing. If ever there was a time to respond to the warning to not be that, I believe it's especially now. It's time to repent. Listen to me, lukewarm believer. It's time to repent. It's time to change. It's time to turn to Him. It's time now to be singularly focused, wholeheartedly devoted. If there was ever a time to respond to that. Do you sense that? Do you hear that from the Lord? Is that what Jesus is calling you to? Neither hot nor cold, stale and stagnant. No, no more of that. None of that. Do you hear that from the Lord today? Is that what Jesus is calling to you? Maybe Jesus is wanting to do something new in you. Most commentators recognize John's use of symbolism, even with each miracle of Jesus that he writes about. There's a sense where there's a literal interpretation, but then the symbolic one as well. The symbolic here at the wedding, the jars, we read it. What were the jars used for? Ceremonial cleaning. The idea would have been the picture of purification and all that was represented. If you think, if you go back Old Testament and the high priest going into the temple and the purification that they would have to go through, and that's the picture, and all of that that was presented in Judaism, how you had to wash before you ate, and how you had to wash before you could do anything if you had been found to be unclean. And what's the story? What's the story represented here in John 2 of all that that represented Judaism, that represented the old way? And how you found purification, what's the story? Those jars are empty, waiting to be filled. It's the religious system of Jesus' day, corrupt, spiritually bankrupt, empty, good for nothing. But then what? There's a filling of those jars with a new wine that's found only in and because of Jesus. The religious system, really, any religious system, it's going to leave you empty inside. Oh, but Jesus, He both purifies and fills. It's the message behind the miracle, if you will. God's done something miraculous and new in and through Jesus. Do you sense that? Is there the old that has left you empty inside? Do you sense that? The calling of Jesus, the word of the Lord, to step into something new? Have you been living on the old wine? Have you been living off the old oil? Oh, sure, you can tell me back in the day, at an altar maybe not unlike this one, where Jesus moved and the Spirit was poured out and revival set into your heart. But you can't tell me anything of late. You're living off the old oil. the old wine, and whether or not you know it, that jar's empty. And maybe Jesus is calling you today to something new. He wants to do in you even what he hasn't yet done. He wants you to know and experience his blessing and his power and his presence in ways that you've not yet experienced. He wants to reveal to you his presence in ways that you've not encountered, not only where he reveals himself to you, but he reveals himself through you in powerful ways to minister to others. Do you sense that? Do you sense his calling to a holy discontentment with the old and a hunger instead for him to do something fresh and new in you? Maybe he's asking you to take up your cross and follow him. In Matthew 26, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. It was the German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer who said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul will say, I die daily. In Galatians 5, we crucify the sinful nature with its passions and desires. We live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. I believe it's true. We're not very good at that anymore. We want self to be comfortable, not crucified. We want self to be satisfied, not denied. We believe when Jesus calls us, he bids us to blessing, not to come and die. Maybe you sense the Lord speaking to you of late, even today. If you want to go higher, if you want to go further with him, there's a cross you're going to have to take up. Something in you that's going to have to be crucified. Something in you that's going to have to die. Something in you that you're going to have to deny, give up, lose for his sake. Listen, I pray this morning you sense it even as I do. Jesus is calling. He's wanting to do something in you. How about this? I believe this would be true as well. Jesus is wanting to do something through you. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, as long as it's day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. Listen to me. The night is coming. It's about to be the end. I've shared it with you before. I believe it and would reiterate it to you today. Everything about today, every event, every news story, way more than just informing us, ought to be reminding us Jesus is coming. When you watch the news, there ought to be the sense of turmoil. Wow, this world is a mess. But there also ought to be the encouragement. Wow, Jesus is coming soon. Very, very, very soon. And now's not the time to sit idle. Listen to me, believer. Listen to me, church. Listen to me, New Life. Now is not the time to sit idle. Now's the time to get to work. The night is coming. Do you understand that related to your unsaved family members? You think you have forever. I'm telling you, the night is coming when no one can work. It will be done, your opportunity to minister to them. Do you realize that for your colleague? Do you realize it for your neighbor? Do you understand that in light of the ministry that God would do in you and through you, and God would do in this church and for this church? Listen, your legacy, my legacy, it's about to be finished. It's about to be done. Where then the work is finished, and now it's just, what did we do? Did we do enough? Did we help enough? Did we serve enough? Did we minister enough? It's time to get to work. The night's coming. This is a rise up and be the church kind of moment, if ever there was such a moment. Listen to me, New Life. It's time to rise up and be the church. This world's a mess, living in darkness and chaos and confusion and hopelessness. It's time to rise up and be the church that Jesus called us to be. Jesus is calling, speaking, commanding, commissioning. Don't you sense that? It's the end. What are you going to do with that? What do you sense the Lord calling you to in light of that? Who do you sense him calling you to minister to in light of that? The world's gone crazy. We know it. The world doesn't, but we do. Well, beyond that, the question that needs to be asked, what are you going to do with that, though? The circumstances of life now, the culture that is now, it's crazy. It's out of control. But that's not really the point. The point is this. Well, what are you going to do with that? How are you going to invade that darkness with the light of the gospel that's in you? Listen to me. We'll bring it close. We'll bring it home to us here in America. America's at the brink. I believe it. I don't want to be the doom and gloom guy, but I believe it. The crossroads of disaster, an absolute collapse from within. We're going the way of every worldwide empire before us. We never thought it would happen to us. It happened to the Persians. It happened to the Babylonians. It happened to the Greeks. It happened to the Romans. It happened to the British Empire. We've believed it would never happen to us, and yet we see it happening before our very eyes. What are you going to do with that? November isn't far away. Voting would be important, other involvement as well. But listen, what America needs is Jesus. What America needs is a church, men and women hearing from the Lord, hearing what He's saying, hearing what He's commanding, hearing His call on them to go out and penetrate the darkness of this country with the light of His grace and His mercy, His love, hope, His salvation. Are you that? New Life, let's be that people. Let's be that church. Jesus is calling. Are you hearing Him? Don't you sense it in your spirit that He is? I think as well there are things God wants to do through you just in the context of your relationships. He wants to use you to minister to others. Encourage, serve, help, visit the sick, the lonely, send an email, make a phone call, write a note, pray with them, pray for them. It's John Bunyan who's attributed the quote, "You have not lived today until you have done something for someone who can never repay you." Now's the time for ministry like that, within the church and through the church to those outside the church. Don't you sense it in your spirit? Jesus is calling. If not, would you listen to your pastor today? I believe it's what the Lord says to us, for you, for me, for us together as a church. Jesus is calling. Jesus is commanding, commissioning. He's speaking to us so that He might do what He wants to do in us, and so He might do what He wants to do through us. Now, we take all of that back to the wedding in Cana. Still our first point. Don't worry, the others won't be this long. The simple message. Jesus is calling. He's calling out to you and to me. The simple message today, look at it in verse 5. Do whatever He tells you. Jesus is speaking to you. I believe. Listen to your pastor. I believe it with all my heart. I sense that I would be right in going one by one through this room and calling you by name. Listen to me. Jesus is wanting to speak to you. Jesus is calling out to you. He's wanting to do something in your life. Hear then the simple message. Do whatever He says. Do whatever He tells you. Jesus is calling, telling you to do some things, wanting you to do some things, so that He can do something miraculous through you, so that even He can change lives through you. The simple message, do whatever He tells you to do. Number two, let's call it the necessary caution. Verse 3, when the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said, "They've no more wine." "Dear woman, why do you involve me?" Jesus replied, "My time has not yet come." There's a sense where Mary treats the Lord like her son. It's a bit of a conundrum, isn't it? Because Jesus is her son. And yet, He's not. Not in this moment. might be hard for some of you moms to understand. That's my son. He's going to always be my son. I don't care how old he is. I don't care if he does have a wife. That's my son. But for Jesus, don't you understand? It's different. This is not Mary's son. This is the miracle-working Lord. And with all due respect to Mary, you don't tell the Lord what to do and when to do it. Mary, you might have told Jesus, your son, what to do, when to do. You don't tell Jesus the Lord. You don't tell Jesus the Messiah. You don't tell the water to wine miracle worker what to do. Mary, this isn't your moment to be mom. This is your moment to stand back and get out of the way of what the Messiah, the Savior of Israel, the Anointed One of God, the Word made flesh, is needing to do to align himself with the will of the Father, is needing to do in obedience to the Father. That's all Jesus ever did, what the Father wanted. Mary needs to get out of the way so that the Son can do what the Father commands and what the Father has ordained for this moment. Listen, the necessary caution is this: be careful of getting in his way. I fear that there are maybe a lot of Christians messing up a lot of ministry. God's wanting to do a lot of things and his people just getting in the way. Don't get in the way. Don't mess up what he's wanting to do in you. Maybe especially we would say it, don't mess up what he's wanting to do through you by letting you, by letting yourself, by letting your agenda, by letting your time frame get in his way. A couple thoughts here. A lot of things that we could consider. Let me just share with you a few. Be careful of getting ahead of the Lord. Listen to me. Sometimes your character isn't ready for his calling. He calls you. He lets you to know how he wants to use you. But first, he needs your character ready for that. So often we miss it. We hear from him and we think it's now. It has to be now. And we get ahead of him. He's back there still addressing the character flaws that would compromise, hinder, and mess up all that he's called us to if they're not dealt with. Maybe God has called you to something. Maybe you sense a prompting of the Lord that there's something that you can do, something that you want to do, but you find yourself in a holding pattern. Listen to the necessary caution. Don't get ahead of him. Let him work on your character while you wait for him to fulfill the calling. Be careful of neglecting wisdom. Just because God has spoken to you doesn't mean you forsake wisdom. Listen. What God wants to do in you, you can be all that. You can have all that and still be wise. What God wants to do through you, you can do it in wisdom. Don't forsake wisdom. How about this? Be careful of so focusing on what you've heard from the Lord that you miss everything else he said. What God wants to do in you, listen to me, it better line up correctly with his word. You think God has spoken to you, but it's contrary to his word? No, you're mistaken. You haven't heard from God at all because God doesn't do that. And with all due respect, I don't need to hear your reasoning. I don't need, but Pastor, I did this and then this happened. And I said, God, if you want me to do this, then make this happen. And it sure enough happened. I really believe. And I heard from God. He spoke. It was like an audible voice. Listen to me. I don't know how else to say it. But if what you feel God's wanting to do in you is contrary to his word, you're wrong. I don't say that to be rude. We can all be wrong. You're wrong. At best, you've heard from yourself. At worst, you've heard from the devil. Be careful. You make sure that what you sense the Lord is wanting to do in you lines up with his word. How about what God wants to do through you? Listen, don't miss the parameters of his word. His word defines for us this reality. There is a right way and a wrong way to minister to people. And let me pause for a minute. Listen, I don't ever want to be afraid to confront. I don't want to ever be afraid of a ministry that's bold and aggressive. I don't ever want to be afraid to call sin sin and call sin out.
I don't ever want to be afraid of that. I don't want to ever be afraid to challenge people in regards to their lifestyle and on the authority of God's word, even call it sin if that's what it is. I don't want to be afraid to challenge people in their choices, especially their eternity. And some would say, no way, not in our culture, not today. You can't do that, bold and aggressive. You can't be that way with people, not today. You can't call sin out. You just need to let everybody know God loves them. Don't say anything about their sin. Nobody wants to hear about their sin. And I'm just going to be honest, I don't believe it. I don't think it's biblical. I don't want to be afraid of a ministry that's bold and aggressive and even confronts and challenges. And yet, that being said, there's a right way and there's a wrong way to minister to people. Listen to me. You can mess up what God's called you to do in ministering to others because you simply forget, you simply ignore everything He's commanded you in Scripture about how to treat others. You can be passionate about what the Lord has told you to say and forget that He's told you to say everything in love. Forget that He's commanded you everything about you. Everything that you would say and do needs to come from an attitude and a response of love for people. You're yelling at everyone, mad, like Jonah, bunch of pagan sinners. I hope none of them repent and God gets them all. You've forgotten everything else that God has said in His word about how we treat people. Listen, Jesus is calling. He's speaking to you. He wants to do something in you. He wants to do something through you. Do whatever He says. And if I could simply put it this way, the necessary caution, and don't mess it up. Number three, the best result, verse 7. Jesus said to the servants, fill the jars with water. They filled it to the brim. Then He told them, now draw some out, take it to the master. They did. The master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He didn't realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn it knew. Then He called the bridegroom aside. Everyone brings out the choice wine first, then the cheaper wine if the guests have had too much to drink. But you saved the best till now. This is why you need to do whatever God tells you to do. It'll be the very best thing for you. Might it be uncomfortable for you? Might it cost you? Might it turn others against you? Yes, yes, and yes. And maybe even more than that. Maybe even worse than that. But will it be the very best thing for you? Oh, yes, yes, yes. And again, one more time, yes. Jesus will always do the best thing. He did it with the water when He turned it to wine. I love that, just water. Listen, He'll do it with your life. No matter how things were or have been, no matter how plain, no matter how simple your life, isn't that how we tend to think? My life's so messed up. Pastor, you don't understand who I was, what I did, how I acted, how I responded. So radically different from everything that God would want me to be and everything that God would be able to use. You mean different like water is from wine? You think God can't use you because of how you used to be and how even sometimes you still are so different from who you need to be for God to use you? Who you think God typically uses? People that are perfect, the stained glass saints. I'm just too different. Different like water and wine. Maybe you think your life just too simple. Pastor, you don't understand. See, I'm just plain old simple me, little old me. I mean, sure, God uses them. Look at them. Of course God uses them. How's God going to use me? Plain, simple me. You mean like plain, simple water that He turns into the best wine in all of Israel? Listen to me, like He did with the water when He turned it to wine, you do what He tells you, and His work in you and on you and through you, it'll be the best. Jeremiah 29,
I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the best. John 10 and verse 10, a thief's only there to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come so that they might have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. That's the best. Do you understand? That's the better quality. That's the best quality that Jesus and only Jesus can bring. Listen, this is true. If you want what's best for you, you have to then want whatever Jesus has for you. Listen to me, believer. If you want what's best for New Life, come on, New Life. We want what's best for New Life. Then it must be that we want what Jesus wants and what Jesus has for New Life. Parents, I know this is church and not a parenting seminar, but it might be the best parenting advice you ever get. If you want what's best for your kids, you have to make sure they get Jesus and what He has for them. No matter where you are in life, no matter what season of life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with. Listen, it's not about being comfortable. It's not about having more. It's not where the best is found. It's not a bigger paycheck. It's not a better job. Think of it, how so often our time is consumed by that. Boy, we're sure zeroed in on what the boss wants, what the boss is asking of us. Because, man, we do that good and we get the bigger pay and we get the better job. And, wow, we really want that. We're tuned in to that. But that's not the best. The best is what Jesus can give. The best is only what Jesus can give. And so we tune our hearts and minds into what He's wanting to do and what He's commanding of us and commissioning us to. It's about being exactly where Jesus wants you to be, doing exactly what Jesus wants you to do. And can I just encourage you? It might not be the word that you would use, but I believe it's the one that fits. Some of you this morning are afraid of what God's saying to you, what He's wanting to do in you, what He's calling you to, what He wants to do through you. Please hear your pastor this morning. What Jesus does is the best. It produces the best result in you and for you and through you. You don't need to be afraid of that. Some of you are afraid of Pentecost. I'm just going to say it the way it is. Some of you are afraid of speaking in tongues. Some of you are afraid of participating in worship and lifting your hands. Some of you are afraid of getting excited about Jesus. Some of you, God's calling you to go to your neighbor, to help, to serve, to minister to others, to those in need. And it frightens you. Even the very thought of it scares you to death. And you think it would be the worst. I'm telling you, you're wrong. I'm telling you, there was a wedding in Cana, water turned to wine, that proves you're wrong. What Jesus does, that's the best. What Jesus is speaking to you, do you hear Him? Jesus is calling. Do you sense the voice of His Spirit wanting to do something in you, taking you to a new place in Him, wanting to do something through you in this last hour living that we find ourselves in? That's the best. That's the best. That's where the best is found. That produces the best. We talked of them last Sunday, even referenced them this Sunday. The churches in Revelation. Listen, this is the best to the church in Ephesus. I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's the best. I'll give you the crown of life to the church in Smyrna. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death. I'll give the hidden manna, give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it. I'll give authority over the nations. I will give him the morning star. He'll be dressed in white. I'll never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angel. In Revelation 3, to the church in Philadelphia, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven. And I will write on him my new name. In Revelation 3, here I am, I stand at the door. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I'll come in and eat with him and he with me. To him who overcomes, I'll give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. That's the best.
Each of those messages, to him who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Hear what the Lord is speaking to you today. Sense his calling, his commissioning, his commanding. Do it. Do whatever he says so that the best might be made available to you. No matter what he says, no matter what he wants to do in you, no matter what he wants to do through you, it's the best. If you want the best, you need to do whatever it is he tells you to do. Number four, and we finish. Number four, let's call it the ultimate objective. Verse 11. This, the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. Jesus is calling. You do what he says and it'll be the best. And because of your obedience, what he wanted to do in you, you let him. What he wanted to do through you, you let him do it. You did whatever he said. Watch this. The ultimate objective to you then, he will reveal his glory. The ultimate objective, you put your faith in him. Your faith solidified in him. Your faith secured in him. The ultimate objective, you believe in him. No doubting, no wavering in unbelief. The ultimate objective, you know him more. You know him better. The ultimate objective, you trust him, knowing that he's for you, knowing that he's with you, knowing that he loves you, knowing that his power would be at work in you. One author says this, he's the one who creates without the aid of anything. And he, the one who turned water into wine, can turn your death into life. He can turn your sorrow into joy. He can turn your pain into peace. He can turn your sin into righteousness. He can turn your judgment into glorification. He can create in you a clean heart. He can make you new. He's the Creator Christ, the miracle worker. That's his power. That's the power that he would make known to you. He would do all that and more in you, for you, and through you. That's the ultimate objective. Jesus. Simply put, the ultimate objective is him. We get him. We get more of him. In John chapter 20, we get the purpose of John's writing. Jesus did many other miracles, signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And watch this. And that by believing, you may have life in his name. Jesus is calling. You do whatever he says, and he will reveal to you his glory. Don't you want that, church? He will reveal. I'm talking to you. He will reveal to you his glory. And yes, I'm talking about us. He will reveal to us in this place, whether it's a Sunday morning just like this one, a Sunday night of prayer, even a Wednesday night Bible study, he will reveal, he will show up, and his glory will fall in this place. His glory will fill this room. The glory of the Lord will overshadow this sanctuary. You do whatever he says, and he will reveal to you his glory so that you'll put your faith in him, so that you believe in him and have life because of him. Do you want the best? Do you want life today? Abundant life, more and better life than you could ever ask for, imagine, or dream up? Do you want that? Does your heart yearn for that? Jesus is calling. So, you do whatever he tells you to do. Father, I pray that you would help us in that. Lord, I just sense in my spirit, there's no doubt, represented in this room, probably even, in fact, I would dare say 100% of us. Oh, yes. We know Jesus is speaking, he's calling, and yes, we want to do whatever he says. We want to do, we want Him to do whatever He wants to do in us. We want to do, we want Him to do whatever He wants to do through us. Yes, yes, we want that. But Lord, I'm just about as equally sure, probably 100% of us even still, that would recognize we don't always do what we want to do. Because a lot of times we sense Your calling and we miss it. We walk away from it. We sense a work You're wanting to do in us here at these altars, but we don't come to the altar. We sense the work that You're wanting to do in us through the Word, but we forget the Word as soon as we walk out the doors. We sense what You're wanting to do through us with our neighbor, but we never go talk to our neighbor. We sense what You're wanting to do through us to a brother or sister that's maybe hurting or struggling, health, emotionally, physically, spiritually, whatever. And we just let that thought pass. It's a passing thought. We thought about it, but we never really did anything with it. You were calling. We didn't do whatever it was You were asking of us to do. So, Father, this morning I pray that You tune our ears to hear what the Lord is saying to us. Each one, my brother and sister, me, Jenny, my family, in this room, Denny, and Emma, and Christian, and Soph, all of us, that God, You help us to hear what You're saying to us. It's true. We know it is. We sense it. Jesus is calling. Help us to hear. Lord, I pray. And Father, give us the strength, the help and power of Your Spirit to do whatever it is that You're saying to us. In Jesus' name, we surrender this morning. Maybe in the end, that's the simple message. Jesus is calling. He's calling to you and to me, to us, New Life. And we surrender ourselves to that, that He might have His way in us, and that we would do whatever He says. I pray that You would today. Once more, I sense it. I really do. I believe it with all my heart that to each and every one of us, Jesus is calling today. I pray that you hear Him. And that as you do, whatever you sense Him saying to you, that your simple response, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Do that in me. Have Your way in me. Yes, Lord, do that through me. I pray all of us today would make that declaration, and by the power of His Holy Spirit, we wouldn't just speak it, we would live it out in our lives so that we can know Him more and His glory be revealed in us. I pray it for you today. Would you stand to your feet? I pray as well the blessing of the Lord on you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you and good to you. The Lord turn to you and give to you His peace. Would you receive that today with an amen? Amen, amen and amen. We receive today the blessing of the Lord.